Hey there, powerful soul. Welcome to Volume 2 of the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald. Here on the Grow Through It podcast, I share personal stories and the stories of others as we are growing through the journey of creating the life, love, and legacy of our dreams our way. Tune in as you may feel inspired to evolve into the best version of yourself. Hey there, powerful souls. Welcome back to another episode here on the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald. And today I have a special guest with me, Mary Morgan. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so excited to have her on, you guys. We're going to talk heavily about identity work, mindset, and being the boss that Mary is in her business, the badass boss.
Yeah, 100%. But
before we dive into all that, I want to give you all just a high level overview of about Mary, and then we're just going to dive in. So Mary learned a lot about building her business, going from $100 to her name to over $130,000 cash months over and over again. She started her business by getting on over 165 sales calls before closing a single client. Woo, talk about determination. Doing all the old school marketing tactics she was taught in the corporate world. She says, when your work can only be experienced to be understood, how do you even sell that? Was a revolutionary thought that changed her life completely. She created a new wave of marketing with a focus on experiential and identity marketing. She works with entrepreneurs around the globe on topics like femme communication, magnetic selling, experiential marketing, building a world-renowned brand. And now she sells multi-thousand dollar packages inside of her inbox with no back and forth conversations, sales pages, nor sales calls. She has simplified the process to the point where most of the time, all it takes to close a $50,000 plus investment is simply sending a link. Boom. Mic drop.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So let's get into it. Tell us, who was Mary when she had $100 to her name?
Oh my gosh. Someone that was so unrecognizable to me today, to be honest. So before I even got into business, I thought like, if you had six figures, you were rich, like you were the president, you were like doing something important. You've got like mansions. And little did I know that actually isn't a lot of money when we come into the entrepreneurial space and in the business world. Yeah. But I knew no one that was making that kind of money. And I didn't grow up in a household where making, you know, you were always told like, be humble if you're making money and all of this. So it was just such a different world. I started getting somewhat exposed to luxury when I worked in luxury retail. I worked at a fur salon, and this is where, you know, the mindset really started to shift. I got into the fashion industry and actually went to school for fashion communications. And that was one of the biggest pieces. So I remember going into the fur salon. This was my first high ticket sale, actually. So I saw this woman come in and she put on this really gorgeous long fur coat. And I was like, oh, you just look so good in that. And she just kind of gave me a snarky look. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I said the wrong thing or what. She put something else on and I'm like, oh, I swear everything you put on just looks so good on you. And she's like, can you effing stop that? Oh, I was like, what? Did I say something wrong? Did I ping her the wrong way? What did I do? So I just gave her space. I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave this woman and move on. And it was a little bit empty. I saw this like really gorgeous pink fur jacket. I put on this fur jacket and I saw myself walking through the streets of New York with the Starbucks, like finishing my shift at Vogue. And I just like envisioned the vibe of that identity, who that woman was. And I just like felt it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I feel like $1 million. And I looked behind me and I saw maybe like five women and they're looking at me and they're like, where did you get that jacket? Like, was that on the rack or like, where did you get it? It looks so good on you. And that was my first high ticket sale.
Oh, wow. So you were just being in the energy of it.
Yes. Yes. It was literally me being in the energy of it. So I did not think about this scenario and it didn't actually land until maybe like 2.5 years ago. So I'm in my business, fast forward to me hustling and grinding, launching live events, running ads, doing paid traffic, having a sales team, like Anything masculine oriented, I probably did it. Anything that was like hustle and grind, I did it. That was one of my identity things that I had to work on, was like, if you made money, you worked hard. And that was like my mindset. So I worked nonstop. I was frustrated nonstop. I was just like, go, go, go.
And I want to dive into that piece real quick if we can, because I know there's women who listen to my podcast, and especially women of color and Black women, and there's so much conditioning around hustling because it's innate at us. Like, we can go out there and go get the bag, as we call it. We can go work, but there's this reshifting, if you will, around what it means to be a woman in business and do it in a way where we're leading from our womanhood, from our femininity, from a rested, restored place. Can you describe to us like what it was like to be in hustle mode? Because then I want to, I really want to like bridge the gap so people can see the identity shift just by hearing your story. Because a lot of times when people are in it, they don't really realize it until the burnout or the catastrophic event happens. And they're like, oh my God, I've been doing it all wrong. I'm like, let's catch this before that happens.
Yeah. And you're so right. You're so right. It is the conditioning. So for me, you know, speaking about minorities and women of color, I never fit in with people who were white. And then I never fit in with people who weren't white. It was like this weird gray area of like, well, you're white enough to not look like us, but you're not white enough to look like us. So I always grew up with this, like, prove yourself.
Ooh.
And prove yourself is your worth. So for me, it was like, I just constantly seek to validation outside of me.
Yeah.
Likes, follows, comments. And to me, that was worthiness. To me, that was like, okay, you're on the right track. Awards, you're on the right track. So it was never something that was self-fulfilled. And it took me to making lots of money in my business, having high, you know, five-figure, six-figure months before I even recognized this. Like, I was just going and going and going. And it took me one day where I was sitting across the table from my fiance. He's telling me a story. And I'm like, why am I not happy? I have everything that I could have possibly wanted in this moment right now. The dinner of my dreams, the man of my dreams, the place of my dreams. But something feels off.
Yeah.
Yet I feel something within me that's like, you're made for more, but I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that moment where it's like, I have it all as it appears, but internally there was still this disconnect. And so what did you do after that when you're like, something's off? This is not it. It like, it looks good on the outside, but internally I'm still not feeling what I thought I would feel.
Yeah. So, I mean, from the business standpoint, parts of the business, I had to like burn to the ground and it was really hard. And some of this I'm actually still doing in my business. Like, I realize in hindsight, looking back, it makes so much sense because, you know, last year I was on vacation with my fiance and I had a nasty email come through from one of my clients that was like, oh, I'm not getting enough support and this and this and this. And when I really understand it now and I see it, I'm like, oh, I see the gap. I see where I was speaking to people who are not in their power.
Yeah.
And, or people who are in their power, but I was not. So I took them out of their power in the way that I delivered my programs. Mm. It was like, here are all the things. Here's how I can support you more. Do you need more? I've got you. More, more, more. And then it took this point of like, okay, I need a week off. And they're like, but where's the more? Where's the more that I expected?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I need my own space. So it was like a really important moment for me to recognize that there are so many pieces where that identity needs to be released and recognizing that that's okay.
What was that like for you to like detach and let go of old ways of doing things?
Oh, it's hard. And for, again, full transparency, like these are still things I'm doing now. Like, I don't think there's a clear, like, okay, Monday, it was all like this. Friday, now we're clean. Identity, new identity, new me.
Yeah,
it's like, I feel like it's an ever-evolving thing. It's like ever-evolving thing that I can't pinpoint, but I can see already the shift. Like, we just had a free event that we did, and then we had some programs that I was selling. And I was like, the caliber of women who came into that were completely different than who I saw in my world even a year ago. So it's like the match of identity is showing up.
Yeah.
The fulfillment is something I started to work on. So like, you know me, I'm very badass, like, yeah, all right, I'm going, I'm doing the thing, et cetera. But getting into my flow, getting into my inner goddess, getting into like who the hell I actually am was actually hard. So it's like really owning yourself and really stepping into your next level power that I completely dissolved and missed.
What was your understanding of what it meant to be a woman in business? Like when you thought about like, I'm going to have my own business, I'm going to be successful. Like, what was your understanding before you stepped into this new level of awareness that you're in now?
Yeah, so funny. Like when you think about women in business, I picture like women in the 80s with like power suits and like like big shoulder pads, just like stepping in the room and owning it. So I think it's again this conditioning of like, you know, I even had a mentor that told me you need to like deepen your voice, you sound too childish, and like all of this. And it's so interesting that now I'm starting to try and step into my other side. It's like I moved so much in the masculine to be taken seriously. Like even in my workplace, I was in such misogynistic and racist environments where I needed to appear a certain way in order to even be listened to. You know, I remember being in conversations and rooms where I would say something, no one would listen. And then someone next to me would say something. And I'm like, I literally just said that. So it was heartbreaking, but a part of me saw that in order to be heard and felt and seen, you need to be masculine. You need to take up space. You need to have this like powerful voice that you come in, you command. And then I see these women online who are like, hi, come buy my stuff. And they're like so sexy, so magnetic. And I'm just like, oh yeah. I'm like, how are you doing that? Like, how? And it's like, it's such a deconditioning of like power exists in all of us, in all the ways, in all shapes, in all forms. Power isn't a power suit from the 80s. It's not a deep voice. It doesn't look a certain way, you know? And I see it now. Like I see people who are so powerful and they're like so feminine, so soft, so beautiful. So it's really me almost learning who the hell I even am like the next evolution of this. Yeah.
How crucial has identity work been to the success of your business?
Huge, huge. And I say this because I have so many clients who I'm like strategy queen. I give you what to do, what content, all the things like that second nature to me. And I'm like, but why for some does it work like this? And then for some it takes forever. And it's the identity work. It's like for some, it's just such a match. It's such an alignment. It just works. And then for some, they're showing up like they're doing the thing. Yes, check, I go live. Yes, check, I post the thing. Yes, check, I do the thing.
Yeah.
But when I actually watch their content, I don't see them. I don't see their power. I don't see the capacity. Like when I look at myself, when I had $100 to my name, I actually got on 165 sales calls before closing a single client.
Wow.
Who then said no in a couple hours because she didn't have the money. So
I am.
Yeah, here I am, hundreds of sales calls in. It was actually my fiance's birthday. We're heading to medieval times. We're like, oh, this is going to be great. Yeah. Babe, we're going to celebrate. You had your first client. It's my birthday. And here we are. We're taking the subway downtown. And I get this message on my phone that's like, nope, never mind. So it was like so shattering and so heartbreaking to be like, oh my gosh, what just happened? But when I look at that identity, I was a match for what I was receiving at that point. When I look back at the sales calls, I wouldn't have said anything different. I think what I said was perfect, but it was who I was being that was completely different.
And for those who are listening, I want to like clarify some things because we're using terms that some people may not be familiar with. We're talking about being a match and you know, masculine and feminine. And really this is about like you attracting a person, a place, opportunity, a circumstance based off of who you're being. And that's that when she's saying match, it's like who she was being manifested these experiences. And the hard part that I've noticed, and Mary, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, especially in business. Like it's so easy to get in our ego when it comes to business, because there's a result and a reward when you do certain things. Like you produce this input, you expect this output. And so our ego can get really involved. Yeah. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on like the realization that who you're being actually can be part of the reason why you're experiencing the results or not experiencing the results that you desire in your business.
Yeah. You know, one thing that was such a huge lesson for me was I was so attached to the numbers, to the validation, to the likes, to the comments, to the earnings, to the whatever that I tied, you know, so we're saying, you know, you're a match for what you received, but I think I tied that too much to my worthiness in the standpoint of like, okay, if I'm making 10K a month, like this is what I'm worth. If I'm making 100K per month, this is now what I'm perceived as. And I think actually when you're in business longer, it's almost harder than at the very beginning, because in the very beginning, it's like, no one knows you. You can F up as much as you want. You can mess up on things. It doesn't matter. But then you get in front of audiences. Now you have thousands of people listening and watching, and they know you're consistently making a certain amount of revenue. You're having a certain amount of success. And when you don't, it feels really like off and sticky. So, you know, one thing that really helped me was realizing like when you look at the stock market, my brother's in finance. So like he would always say things go up and down, but in the long term, they always go up.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, it's so good. Like when you think about your revenue in business, it's like, it'll go up and down, but in the long term, it'll keep going up. Right. Just like your growth. Like your growth is a consistent up, just like your revenue over time is a consistent up. But we, in the online space especially, we like micromanage it. We're like, okay, yesterday was this, today is this.
And then we become the meaning-making machine.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. We become this meaning machine of like, okay, let's dive into this. What does this mean? What is this telling me? Insert all the BS stories that I've been told growing up and throughout my entire life. Well, they're now coming to surface of like, you're not good enough, smart enough, whatever it is, guilt, shame, fears, whatever it is, start to bubble and surface. So what I realized is it's not even about the destination. And this sounds so cheesy. And I think we all know this, like at the top of our mind, it's like, duh, it's not about the destination. But I didn't actually have this sink in, honestly, until really like the past couple of months, I actually started to feel this is like, let's fall back in love with the journey. Like and again, like if you think about it in relationships, it's like, do you want to just get married? Check. Have the kids? Check. Go out to the dinner dates? Check. Kid turn 10? Check. Kid to college? Check. And then you miss all the things. Or it's like sitting at that dinner table and being like, well, tell me about school. And you're not thinking about work. You're not thinking about 700 things in the back of your mind, which is what I was doing. But you're there and you're like, that is so cool. Tell me more.
Being present.
Yes. Yes. Because we're either worried about the past or we're worried about the future. Yeah. But it's like in the present, what could you even be worried about? None, unless you're looking at one of those two things. So for me, it's recognizing that like the only thing we can actually change is what we're doing in the present.
Yeah.
So we're worried about something that we can't even control. It's like being so mad that it's raining outside. It's like, well, then there are some that are mad and they're pissed off that they can't head out to the beach. And then there's others that are dancing in the rain. There are others that are like, my parents used to always say, perfect, we got a free car wash. Like, we don't need to go out, get the hose, car wash, you know, plants are watered better. So it's the same thing. Like, is it that your car got watered? Plants are watering, you're dancing barefoot, you're laying barefoot, like you're doing that. Or is it you're sitting, looking out the window, getting frustrated that it's raining? It's like, we get to decide what we do with it.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, these are concepts and principles I feel like could be talked about more for those of us who are in business, because a lot of times, you know, I hear a lot of people get stuck on the strategy, and I know you're the strategy queen. And here you are talking about these principles and concepts that, you know, to me, this is very telling of, yes, strategy is important. Absolutely. And there are some other elements to this game that if you don't get this thing figured out, you're going to be sitting across the table from your fiance, scratching your head, wondering, why does this still not feel like enough?
Yeah. And you know, what's so interesting about like the strategy piece. I remember having a conversation with someone and she said, I see all these people who are making phenomenal posts and they're so deep. Like they make this post and I feel it. but my content, I can't get to that depth. Why? Like, help me get clarity on why I can't get to that depth. And it's like, you're literally just not feeling and seeing the depth. That's it. So it's like a lot of us will look at people and we're like, oh, you know, even you, like you create phenomenal content where I'm like, oh, I just feel it. I feel like the videos, the words, the things, like it's Thank so you. Good. And then when other people go to create content, they're like, what do I say? You don't know what to say because you're not living. Like you don't know what to put because you're not
can
being.
Can we just say that one more time for the people in the back?
Like people ask me, how do I have a better, what do I post on social media? How do I show more stuff? And I'm like, person A will talk about their offers. Here are my offers. Here's what's included. Person B is out there. One of my clients did this and she's like, she's a parenting coach, her life and documenting the weekend. And someone reached out to her and asked her, what did you do? I see her kids, I see them hanging out, but they're not bickering, they're not fighting. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, this is the work that I do. And she closed an 8K pay in full sale in the DMs. Wow. And then this other one, nothing. What's the difference? One is selling, one is posting her offers, and the other one didn't talk about offers. She was being, it's the fur analogy. It's like, do I go up to you and say, hey, you look good in that? Or I'm just gonna put my fur jacket on, walk in like I own this place, and you're gonna wanna be me. And that's it.
I love this conversation so much because I'll be transparent. When I entered the online world a few years ago, I started my business in person and I would do speaking events. I'd host my own retreats. I would attract clients from that way and then referrals. When I entered online, it was like, what the heck? Like, it was like a whole new
world. Why is everyone the same?
It was just crazy. Like I was lost and I found myself struggling for a long time to find my own way online. And I did get caught up in making investments based off strategy. And I did that for a long time until I would say about 2020. That's when I started working with in Bob Proctor's program, the late Bob Proctor, and then kind of like got real serious about like personal development needs to be the priority, not just strategy. Because I did find myself in that strategy trap where I was like, I need to learn the tactics and the tips and the tools and the strategy and how do I do this? And I found that it wasn't producing the result. And when I started comparing, why did I have so much success offline compared to online? It was because I was just living in embodiment with my own work. And so I returned back to that. And similarly to the story you just shared, I closed last year my first 8K client and it was in the DMs and she saw me post a picture about me swimming in the pool, talking about how I was just doing me. And that was the thing. I wasn't selling. I wasn't doing anything. She was just like, whatever you over there doing, I want some of that. And I was like,
yes,
this gets to be like this.
And here's the difference. So here's what's really cool that I teach my clients. It's like, if you show up and you teach with logic and that's how you're marketing and you're selling, like, here's what you get access to. Here's what it looks like. Here are all the bullet points. Here are all the things. The objections you'll start to hear are on the bullet points, on the, you know, well, I can't make it on those times. Well, I'm not too sure because of ABC. When you start literally just going through illogical things, like it just makes no sense, but this is what's happening in my life. Your conversation is completely different. Now it's like, do I want that life? Do I not? Just like, do I want that bullet point? Do I not? But now it's, do I want that lifestyle? So I find that it's like the easiest way to sell, because just like you said, you're being, you're living, you're a full embodiment and representation of what you do. And you get to just be. Like, how, what other industry can we do this in? Like, it's nuts.
That's why I love it. And I'm not, I know that there's room, so much room for all of us here. And it's such a beautiful industry. It's changed my life. I love it immensely because this is the only work I know where you get to be yourself and do the work that you love to do and be compensated in the way that the potential that's there for compensation. There's no other industry like this one. I'm obsessed with it. Mary, I'd love to hear your thoughts on if someone was in your position, the $100 Mary, and they're listening to this and they're like, okay, that sounds all good and all, like she went from $100 to 100K plus months. What would you say to them? Like, if you could go back to $100 Mary, to the person listening, and they're like, I don't have a multi six or seven figure company yet. What would you tell them like to focus on at this time?
I would say, I see you looking at others and I see you desiring the things that they have. Cause I know that that's how I thought, but I would say she's not smarter. She's not more whatever. She's braver though. She's more courageous than you are. And that's why she's making more money. And really, and I made a post about this. I'm like, that's the only difference. Like we look up to people who were like, oh, they got the car, they got the house, they've got the team. Like they've just got their whole life figured out. And it's like, it's not a special ingredient. Like we keep looking for a silver bullet, a certain thing. Like what's the secret sauce? What do they do? And it's like, there's no secret. Like the secret is longevity and trust and bravery and over and over. Like I have people who are like, I invested and it didn't work. And I'm like, okay. And then I'll have other people who are like, my spouse is unsupportive. Okay. Like, and what do you want me to do with that? And like, I can give you a whole list of things that made no sense, but I went. I can give you a whole list of things that were like, not in my favor. We all have our own stuff. We all have our bags that we carry and our crosses that we carry on our backs. Like we all have our things, but it's like, what do you choose to walk with? So either you go, yes, but I can't, or you go, yes, and I will. So that's the difference. Is like, so many people I have conversations with, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so not resourceful. Like if I was in your shoes right now, I remember when I had $100 to my name, I was like, if I need to mow lawns and babysit and like pick up jobs left, right, and center just to pay this credit card off, like I will. But I see so many people that are getting so soft and are getting so scared and are like, well, I didn't get a return or whatever it is. You know, in my very first investment, I was so focused on getting an ROI and I realized I didn't actually see the ROI because I didn't see the ROI. Yeah. It's like sometimes you don't see it immediately, so you don't think it's there. But again, just like the stock market, you might see a dip, you might see a high, like, but it'll go up. If you trust that it will, it will. So it's like, it always will return, but you just need to continue to be brave. You need to continue to be courageous and just keep moving.
I love that. I love that so much. And it goes back to what we were talking about initially, that identity work, how important it is to not just do all the things, but to be the person. And that's really what I'm hearing you say is like, it really comes down to who are you being when you're setting out to build the business and make your dreams come true. It's we got to do the things. And who are you being in those moments? And are you allowing, 100%. I often say, allow your desires to disrupt your doubt. And it's like, are you allowing your desires to disrupt your doubt? Or are you letting the monkey brain run the show?
Yeah. And it's like, listen, we all have the doubt. Like I will have clients who are like, but what if no one buys? And I'm like, I think that every time I put out an offer. And they're like, but what if no one comments? I think that every time I post. Yeah. And again, like I said, it gets harder. The more you have eyes on you, the more you have people that watch you, but you just have to get over it and be like, how do I want to teach this to my clients? How do I want to lead this conversation? How do I want to walk this talk? Like if I say, yeah, just post, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. But am I actually doing that? Like if my clients were fly on my wall right now and I'm freaking out and refreshing my screen 24/7, then I'm not actually an embodiment of what I say. So it's like that started to really shift my identity work, is like actually stepping into what I say.
Yes. I love that so much. So when it comes to where you're at now and just deepening this work for yourself, and I love how you say, like, you went from $100 to your name to $100,000 plus cash months. Like that to me is like mic drop. But when you think about who you are now, like what's next for you? Like what's your big vision? What do you see next for yourself?
Oh my gosh, so much. I think the biggest thing for me is really continuing to fall back in love with the work and with the business. I think it's so easy to fall into the trap of like, this is the next level income and this is the next level thing. But I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, it's about the journey. So like some of the things I started to do is literally just document. So I've been recording like little videos behind the scenes of like my highest of highs and my lowest of lows. And I've had massive, massive milestones that I haven't publicly celebrated that I normally would have. And I do this so that when I do want to do it, I'll celebrate it and that'll be good. But it's also looking at, I used to see like, okay, if you have an amazing milestone, you celebrate, you get the champagne, you pop bottles, like you do the thing. But I'm starting to realize that like you have different seasons of your business. So some moments are yes, a celebration, but some are more of an anchoring. So like that's the season I'm in right now, is really just like the grounding, the anchoring, the being, the feeling versus like, yeah, let's get balloons. Let's do all like fly off the walls. Like that isn't my vibe right now. It will be maybe in a few months. I don't know. But you know, it's really just understanding the seasons and getting more in my actual natural flow. My word of the year this year is intentionality and anchoring for this reason. But my word of so one thing that's so important for me around this is like last year, there were so many moments that I didn't anchor, like huge milestones, huge celebrations. And I was just like, okay, amazing, next.
and there's an impact of not anchoring in the moment, you know, because then over time, I found some clients I've worked with who are, I call y'all heavy hitters in business.
And it's
like they've completely disconnected from the magic of what they've created, you know? And that's why it's so important to have those moments of grounding and anchoring and celebration, because you will start to disconnect from the magic of what you've created. And what you've created is epic. Like the numbers are staggering of how many people even break through the six-figure mark, let alone six-figure month. Like you've broken records and statistics. And so knowing like, you've got to find those moments in business and life and relationships, like to anchor this in so that we don't take it for granted.
Yeah. So what I was going to say on this was I actually had a conversation with a peer on this and she was like, oh my gosh, Mary, you've had amazing, amazing successes. Why aren't you celebrating? Like go get balloons with like numbers on them and go pop bottles and go do the thing. And I almost felt shame. Like I almost felt feelings of why do I not want to do this? Like, and I sat with myself and I realized I'm in a feeling of revival right now. So I'm actually going into a masterclass I'm running called Revival.
Oh, wow.
And the whole vibe is around, you know, four modules that are like identity work around becoming her, and then three modules around then magnetizing her. So it's going to be a really powerful, like two part. And when I looked at myself, I'm like, that's why I'm not in the vibe of like jumping off of the walls. I'm in a season of revival. I'm in a season of up leveling my identity. So it feels off to be jumping off the walls. Yet I do want to celebrate. So that's where I started to understand this work of actually just anchoring. Like, what if I just had a beautiful dinner, you know, with myself or with my fiance, and it was just an anchoring. Like it was just a, how good is life right now? And it's me journaling and it's me feeling. And I was like, oh, that feels good. So it's recognizing that there are some moments where it's more so anchoring, some moments where it's more so celebration. And if something feels off, it feels off for a reason. Like let that guide you. I truly feel that fear, guilt, shame, all of these emotions are the gateway to everything that we desire on the flip side. So I don't know if you've seen the movie Interstellar. Have you seen it?
Interstellar. Who's in that movie?
Oh my gosh, I'm horrible with names. If my fiance was here, he would read the whole credits. He would read the whole credits and be like, oh, here, he was on it. So good. So look it up after. You need tissues. You're going to ball your eyes out.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to write this down. Interstellar.
Yeah. It's a really famous movie. It's literally like the Titanic. It's something like huge. Ooh, and if you're listening to this on the podcast, like, pause and go watch it. I'm kidding. Finish this and then watch it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Interstellar. So there's a moment where he describes time and quantum physics and time. So this hasn't been proven, but if you think about a black hole, what they say is it's kind of like a wormhole. So if you picture a piece of paper where instead of going from point A to point B, if you fold that piece of paper, you're there instantly. That's a wormhole. So it's almost like a portal in time where you can hyperspeed from one place to another.
Oh, wow.
Warping time because of this black hole in space. So, you know, and he goes through this in the physics of it and all that. So, you know, one thing that I realized is fear, guilt, shame is literally like a wormhole for me. I see it as like, okay, I get to anchor. Cool. Now I start to anchor and I'm moving my identity so much closer to who I desire. I see fear around, well, you know, my next level version of me, she looks like this. These are her clients, but who am I to even work with these kinds of clients? Then I start to do the work of who do I need to become? And then I start moving.
Yeah.
And it's like seeing the fear and the shame and all these things as not a bad thing, but seeing it as like, what is the work that we need to do? Okay, cool. Let's do it. Like it gets to be something that's so fun and so eye-opening versus like, why do I feel this way?
Yeah, I love that so much. And it's really, it just goes to show how much power we have to shift our reality. And it literally can be in a moment, you know, like you said, when the fear, shame, and guilt shows up, like that could take you down. I tell my clients, do you want to go to Utah or do you want to come down here to Florida where I'm at? Because what you're over there thinking about and stewing on, you know, is going to determine which direction you go in. I love that. So, tell us, is there anything that you want to share? I know that you also talk about mindset work in your work. Is there anything mindset related that you want to share during your time here as it relates to the work you do?
Yeah, I think, you know, on the conversation of like bravery and courage, one of the biggest things I realized is like, as we lead through things, we have the intuition and the gut feeling that we've been gifted as humans to go, oh, I feel like this is going to work, or oh, I feel like this isn't, but also the discernment of like, well, if it is, if it doesn't work, I'm okay. If it does, I'm okay. And I saw this recently play out when I was doing a masterclass. It was like the lowest registrations I've had in a while. And I was like, shit, this sucks. And then I had to really think about it. And I was like, but I'm going to put my all into it. And it's having like a bigger context. So for me, like one of my contexts around programs and masterclasses is like, I want to create one of the best portals. Like you come in and it's like every little second in there, you are ouncing in gold. Like it is so freaking good. So if I want to create that, am I just going to go into this masterclass and it's just going to be really shit because no one's there and like, screw it, delete it after? Or like, am I going to just use that time and make it a masterpiece? And that I did. Part. And I'll tell you, the people who were in there, every single person asked about my program.
Like, I love that.
I don't know how many people there were in there. Maybe 100 people asked about a program from this free freaking thing. And I was like, you get to create what you desire. And we have to come back and realize that. Like, for me, I always look at how can I remove the pressure? So if I'm running programs, I make it, you know, if you have, like I have an all-inclusive membership called The Circle. And in there, all my programs, masterclasses, et cetera. So if two people purchase it, I'm not stressed because it's going to The Circle.
Yeah.
If one person purchases it, why not?
Yeah.
So I ran this training and just the other day, I was like, you know what? I want to do like a content creation hour, 60 pieces of content, 60 minutes. It's going to be so freaking good.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah. And it's happening April 7th. So I'm so excited. And my mind could have said, well, what if no one buys? What if you put this thing out? No one buys it. What if you embarrass yourself and blah, blah, blah. And then I just went into, what if I just do this for my clients? Like people who are in, I have a program right now called Iconic, which is all around branding and all the things. Okay. It's going to be included in Iconic. It's included for private clients. It's included for The Circle. Okay, great. Now we already have dozens of people coming. Mm-hmm. So now I'm hyping myself up. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a jam. This is going to be so fun. And then like almost instantly, a handful of people reached out and then purchased it. And I was like, How cool is that? So for me, one of the greatest pieces is like, how can you remove the pressure? Like if you're building a business right now, coming back to what you were saying, Cass, of like starting your business with $100 to my name, it's like, if you can just start with like, you're working your 9 to 5, so that pays the bills. You're not stressed, and everything then you do in this business is magic money. It's play money. It's just for fun. But the second you start going, I'm doing this so I make money, so I pay my bills, you've already lost the magic. You've lost the point of this whole thing.
Yeah. I love that so much. I love that. Thank you for sharing about the magic money piece, because I feel like that is a concept that is probably not mainstream yet. You know, it's something I learned being in the container that we've been in, and a business container we've been in, and just learning that this ability to generate income, it's such a new concept compared to the old paradigm of how we were conditioned to believe money is supposed to be made. And so may have to have you back to dive deeper on the magic money chat one day.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like, that's the identity work. It's like, Mary with $100 to her name saw money. As you work hard, you make money. You get on hundreds of calls. Hopefully you're getting a client. You're like, that was the vibe I was in. So of course that was my reality. As you start to shift who you are, your reality changes as well.
That part, I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, I have had such a blast having this conversation with you and just diving deeper into the woman behind the $100 to her name to the multiple six-figure months. I think is such an incredible story. And I'm so happy that the people who are connected here got to hear about you and what you're all about. Before we complete, are there any final remarks that you want to share, and where can people find you if they want to look you up?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at marymorgan.biz. I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but you can always reach out on Instagram. You'll see what's happening. I'm always posting on my stories. So there's always fun things that are going on in my world. But we always have exclusive free trainings in our Facebook group. And I just started our podcast, Mary Morgan Show. So if you want to connect on there, that's always fun.
That's so cool. I love that. Well, thank you again for being here. And I am excited to see how things continue to unfold for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave your review for the podcast. To learn more, go to www.cassandraaustin.com.